for the annual Mother's Day sermon. Seems like I just preached one of these a few weeks ago, and we're already back around to a new year. At the beginning of our service, I had Martin read from 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 16 through 28. And some of you ladies may be sitting there thinking, well, that is a very unusual passage of Scripture for a Mother's Day sermon. And I admit, it is a little bit unorthodox, but I said, well, I can't preach on Jezebel, so let's go to this one. But just to remind you what the story is, remember there were two prostitutes that came to wise King Solomon, and they stood before him. And one of them said, you know, my lord, my king, this woman and I, we live in the same house. I had a baby, and she had a baby, and third day after my child was born, this woman had a baby too, and we were alone. There was nobody in the house between us, and other than us and the babies, and during the night, this other woman, she was sleeping in the bed with her baby, and she rolled over on it and smothered it. So I guess Milwaukee's not the first place to have co-sleeping deaths. Been going on for a long time. But the woman who had accidentally rolled over and killed her baby in her sleep, she got up in the middle of the night and she took my son from my bed and put her dead son in my son's place. And I woke up in the morning to nurse him and in the middle of the night and found out the baby was dead. Then when it got daylight and I could see better, I realized that it was not my baby who had died, but this other woman. And the other lady was there, and she screeched out, "No, no, no, my son is the living one, hers is the dead one." And they argued back and forth, this way in front of the king. And so Solomon said, you know the story, bring me a sword. Now Solomon had no intention of having the living child put to death, but he knew what would happen. And he said, let's split the living baby in half, and we'll give half to one and the other half to the other. And of course, he knew that the spiteful woman who had really lost her son in the night would say something like she did. Good, that way neither one of us would have a living child. And she knew, and he knew the real mother, filled with a heart of love and would do anything for her child, willing to sacrifice her own motherhood so that her child could live, said, no, 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 give the child to her. And Solomon wisely knew that this was the real mother. You know, when we read a Bible story, we rightly should look for the main idea in the text. And the main idea in the text is that Solomon was a wise king. But there's a secondary meaning in this text as well, once you get past the main idea of the text. And it's these secondary issues that I want us to look at for mothers today. And I think you'll see that you'll find that this passage is actually one that can provide encouragement for you, even from an unlikely Mother's Day sermon passage. One of the things I want you to see, ladies, is that there is no such thing as a perfect mother. I don't say this to put mothers down, but I don't want to build them up falsely. But understand that no one needs to be treated with more tenderness than our mother. For in your life, there was probably, if you were blessed with a godly mother, there was probably no one more loving and conscientious, I can't even say it, more thoughtful, how about that, towards you than your mother. And sometimes we're too hard on them. And sometimes, ladies, you're too hard on yourself. I want you to examine the two ladies in this passage in 1 Kings 3. Some folks would not like me calling them ladies. For you see, the Bible says they were prostitutes. That means their babies were probably conceived under sinful circumstances. Now, that kind of grabs you a little bit. That makes you sit up in your chair a little bit and pay closer attention. So why did Solomon, king over God's chosen people, why did he even take time to worry about this squabble between two prostitutes? These were sinful women and sinful men paid for their services, and they were obviously living outside of God's will. The answer's pretty simple why Solomon was concerned about them. Do you know why Solomon was concerned about them? Because God was concerned about them. There are some folks that society says, oh, they're worthless, and wants to throw them on the trash heap of society. But there is no one that God says that's a throwaway person. God cares about all. Now, I don't have to convince you that the church ought to stand for moral purity. But the church first must stand for restoration and forgiveness, to see people come to a saving knowledge of Christ, to see people come to the Lord, to allow the Lord to change them. Yes, these women, they weren't living up to God's ideals, but yet God still loved them. And I want to say something before any of us cast some judgment. Remember that if any of us had to wait on God to love us based upon our own performance, every one of us in this room would be out of luck, wouldn't we? None of us would meet that. So, if there's anyone, though, in whom we ought to be able to give a little grace to and overlook a fault or two, it ought to be our mothers. And why should we overlook some of the faults in our mothers? It's because I guarantee you they've overlooked more of our faults than we'll ever overlook today. So let's lighten up on moms a little bit. And moms, I want you to lighten up on yourselves a little bit. You know, as a mom, you need to be able to laugh and have a good time. You need to be able to enjoy life. And I thought this morning, why not? I'm going to give you a chuckle. Moms, I hope you'll find these a little bit humorous. But these are some actual letters to God from children, taken from Children's Letters to God, was the name of the article. And these are authentic letters, real letters, that children wrote to God. Let's look at these. So we have Allison who writes, "Dear God, I read the Bible. What does begat mean? Nobody will tell me." And here's one from Norma. "Dear God, did you mean for the giraffe to look like that, or was that an accident?" Neil writes, "Dear God, I went to this wedding and they kissed right into the church. Is that okay?" Joyce writes, "Dear God, thank you for the baby brother, but what I prayed for was a puppy." Bruce writes, "Please send me a pony. I never asked for anything before. You can look it up." Peter wrote, "Dear God, please send Dennis Clark to a different camp this summer or this year." I can relate. I had one of those in my childhood. Elliot writes, "Dear God, I think about you sometimes even when I'm not praying." Nan writes, "Dear God, I bet it's very hard for you to love everybody in the world. There are only four in my family, and I can't do it." This one was my favorite one. I don't know if I found it particularly funny, but I thought this one was funny. This is from Eugene. "Dear God, I didn't think orange went to purple until I saw the sun picture made on the beach." That was cute. All right, I hope those made you smile a little bit. Life's too short to go through it frowning all the time. Enjoy your life. Don't worry to laugh. Don't be afraid to laugh and to take the worries down. All right. So there's no such thing as a perfect mother. So just accept that and you'll be a lot happier. The other thing I want you to see in this passage is that God has answers for a mother's problem. You know that? Boy, wouldn't it be nice to approach every problem with the understanding that God has an answer for it. And if I would quit worrying about it and stressing over it, and just let God take the situation, no matter what it is, from first pain of birth to even if you live to be 100 years old and you have great grandchildren, and no matter how old you get as a mother, I know that you're always going to worry and stress about your children and grandchildren and how many other greats you got. That's what, and you're praying for them all the time. It's good news. No matter what your children are dealing with or what you're dealing with as a mother, God has an answer. Now I want you to ponder something. The main meaning in this passage that I read, I shared with you, was to show that King Solomon had God's wisdom. But here's the question. Why did God give Solomon that wisdom in the first place? Now, when you look at verse 28, look at this. Go to the end of the passage that we read, and look at verse 28. When all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had handed down, they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice. So did God give Solomon this wisdom so that all Israel would go, ooh, that's a smart man. Don't mess with Solomon, because he will mess you up with his wisdom. He'll straighten you out. Is that why God did that? No. Nope. God gave Solomon his wisdom for a purpose, and that purpose was not so people would go, ooh, I'm impressed with him. No. It's so that God's wisdom would help people in their problems. God gave Solomon this wisdom on this day with these two women, not for Solomon's benefit, but for the women, the benefit of these women. God has wisdom to give you for your parenting responsibilities today. God will provide that wisdom, that guidance for you. I don't care if you're a traditional mom in a traditional family, or if you're a single mom, or a widowed mom, or an adopted mom, or a stepmom, or a mom with a special needs child, or whatever the situation is, you name it, whatever kind of mother you are, understand that God has wisdom and guidance just for you. And if you'll seek him, you'll find it. He'll teach you what to say, what to do, how to handle each situation. Will it come immediately? Sometimes. Oftentimes not. But seek God's face, and you'll find it. You'll find wisdom. Just like the mom one night who was tucking her small boy into bed on a summer night, and there was a violent thunderstorm coming by, and she was just about to turn out the light when the little boy asked his mother with a tremor in his voice. He said, "Mommy, will you sleep with me tonight?" And the mother just smiled and gave him a big reassuring hug and said, "I can't, dear. I have to sleep with your daddy." And then the little boy broke the silence again with his shaking voice, going, "The big sister." back to our story from 1 Kings 3. The real mother in this story was willing to give up all of her motherly rights and would allow to see another woman raise her child and receive her child's given to her. And moms understand this. You have to be willing to give up some things to be a good mother. I can think back to my mom. I can see it in my own house with my own wife. I know that personal sacrifice is a pivotal part of motherhood. They sacrifice their own bodies by carrying a child around for 9 months. Mothers feed us, nourish us, protect us. They protect us with their own lives. And they keep going through life. They give up sleep for a sick child. They give up personal goals to help their children achieve their goals. I want you kids to think about this. You know, when you get new clothes, that probably means your mother didn't. When you ask at mealtime if you can have a second helping, that usually means mom doesn't have a second helping. The way our mothers sacrifice and give remind us that our God is sacrificial and that our God gives. And He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish. A mother that loves sacrificially is a picture of our God who loves us so much that He gave His Son. As we head to an invitation, moms, thank you for all that you do. If your mother's in heaven today, give thanks to God. I know it's a bittersweet day for you. Give thanks to God. Maybe your mother wasn't a model mother. Give praise to God anyway. The faith that nobody had June Cleaver. That's okay. And ladies, enjoy your life. Laugh, smile. Trust God for wisdom for your problems. Don't put too much pressure on yourself. Keep on showing the sacrificial love that models the Father's love for us. Father, Lord, thank you for our mothers. Thank you for the sacrifices they make for us. And Father, we pray now that you would help us to learn that at the heart of who you are is a God who loves, who gave His Son for us. Father, bless any decisions that need to be made.